Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football.
More now. This is what they did. Oh, Pollard's got the ball. Finding hole.
This is what we're waiting to see.
Oh, made the tackle there. Aye, aye, aye. And it's a touchdown!
Tony Pollard.
That was a 58-yard beautiful run up the sideline.
Wow. Great blocking, and once he's got that speed turned on, then there's no way that Marcus Williams is going to get him.
Welcome to Good Morning Football. Was that my voice?
Why didn't you tell us?
The GOAT, Andrew Kramer. Why didn't I tell you? Because I didn't know. Welcome to Good Morning Football, presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. I'm waking up in New York City, and I'm like, was I sitting next to Andrea Kramer
for the entire
Cowboys-Saints game, taking in all of her insights, seeing her hard work? Unbelievable. I got the chance to sit in the booth. Of course, Amazon is all about options, giving you different viewing experiences. You see what the Mannings do Monday night
How did you not tell us?
I didn't know. I got a call. I told you I was interviewing Leonard Fournette. I'm interviewing him in my living room. All of a sudden, it's, hey, can you come in? Hannah's under the weather. We hope she's feeling better. She'll be back, of course, with Andrew in the Storm Kramer booth next week for Amazon Prime. It was so fun. I got to be there.
Hold on. There's so much going on. You did the play-by-play last night with Andrea on Amazon.
It's play-by-play.
It's awesome.
It's a conversation. It's insights. I mean, Andrea, if I could just explain. Oh, I had such a great time, and thank you, Andrea, for just carrying it the entire show. It was just so fun.
And being humble, too. You did your thing.
She's so talented, and the fact that she even knows my name, it was like a pinch me moment. So what a fun time.
Like you said, no fear. Just got to jump right into it. We got to get Cowboys Saints. The people need Cowboys Saints.
I won't do a
Friday
highlight,
morning.
Kyle, but I'll do that for 3.5 hours.
Dan Quinn wants to coach, though. Mike McCarthy's out. We love DQ. Amari's back from COVID. CD's back from concussion. Let's see this Cowboys offense. CD looked great. He looked like a superstar.
But wait, there's more.
Amari, CD, Gap, through the air. Tony Pollard, gas for days. They're up 19. Tell you DQ. Yeah. All right, but Taysom doing everything he can. 6.5 left. It's deflected. It's interception. Demonte Casey. So that's the game. Taysom did throw 4 interceptions. But we all still love Taysom Hill.
27-17.
I wish Atlanta players would have played that well.
I know. We really did. Mike, we have to bring that up. We're going to go now to the 7A sound, which is Dak Prescott talking about all that adversity for number 4 in the Cowboys.
I mean, a win's a win. It means a lot. As you just said, the adversity we've faced coming off the last 2 weeks and then coming in this week and just being hit with the COVID, losing the head coach this week, and just, I mean, so many people stepped up. Credit to Dan Quinn, the coordinators, all the leaders on this team of doing what was necessary to be ready for this game, and then just through the ups and this up and down in this game. I'm playing complimented football. When we weren't doing our job on offense, defense, we're creating turnovers. So, I mean, tough to come in a place like this and win, and we're able to do that.
Both teams had obstacles to overcome. Both had adversity going into last night's NFC showdown. How impressed were we with the Cowboys' win over the Saints? I don't want to give them too much love. They needed to get a win, and they should have against this team.
Yeah, the Saints have lost 4 straight games going into this, and Taysom Hill's banged up. But I will say this. When the Cowboys have all their pieces, they sure are fun. Mm-hmm. And that first touchdown drive was really what I was looking to see. Amari Cooper, Kyle, to your point, did not play a ton of snaps in this game. Still kind of maybe catching his legs here. That's a number one wide receiver. Okay, well then let's get the ball to CeeDee Lamb. You know what that is? That's another number one wide receiver. They have 2 of them on this team. Or do they have 3?
Talk about it.
Because they take it down to the goal line, and guess who's out there for the first time ever with those 2 on the field? Gallup with the score.
25 years old, Michael Gallup.
And he's going to be in a contract year, and he's going to be even better. He's going to get paid this offseason. But when those 3 guys are on the field together, it's the first time all season they have been, they're really hard to stop in the passing game. I'm not going to take anything away from it because of who they played. They took care of business. They beat the Zombie Saints because you have to beat the Zombie Saints. And I say the Zombie Saints because I don't recognize what New Orleans had. Those are not my familiar faces.
It's not.
Yet those guys fought hard and made it a game until the very end. Cowboys win by 10. They get a job done, and that's all we could ask for this late in the season. And I think they're getting all their pieces back. Mm-hmm. It's good to see DeMarcus Lawrence, too.
It was. It was good to see their everybody, all their playmakers, DeMarcus Lawrence. But this was a get-right game for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. It was, right? In past years, we'd see the Dallas Cowboys kind of trick this game up, mess it up, right? And, you know, do something stupid, lose. And then, you know, we're talking about how they're imploding toward the end of the season. Michael Irvin, our colleague here at NFL Network, he said something on the postgame last night. Mm-hmm. He talked about getting their confidence together. And really, I think that's what this game was about, because at the end of the day, did Dallas play the greatest? No. Mm-hmm. A better team would have beat Dallas last night. But it was a get-right game for their confidence. They can go into the building and feel good about their football. Over the last month, they haven't felt good about their football, right? And if you're not feeling good about your football, it's going to stink. But before I finish, I got to talk about Michael Parsons, and I'm not just talking about him because he went to Penn State.
He's amazing.
The dude is a baller, man. And I'm hearing people say he's probably a better defensive end. I don't agree with that. I think when he learns the linebacker position, I think he's going to be more impactful from the second level than maybe any linebacker since, I don't know, Dick Butkus or something. I mean, I think it's one of those special type of impactful types of guys, man. But his versatility, his ability to get after the quarterback, his mentality, he's a franchise personality. I love what I'm seeing out of the Dallas Cowboys when they're right, when they're healthy. But, guys, we got to be honest. This was a get-right game.
Do you know who the last time a rookie won Defensive Player of the Year?
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah. I mean, that was 30-something years ago, and he looks like it right now. Yes, the Saints have lost a bunch of games in a row. Cowboys have lost 3 or 4. Cowboys didn't have their head coach. Cowboys are in the Superdome. I'm not taking a lot away from them. This is tough. I don't care. Winning football is tough. No, this is not the most glamorous and impressive win of all time. They got it done, and they flexed, and they played defense, and they ran the ball.
Hey.
Give me Tony Pollard. They have not had a touchdown run longer than that since Zeke was a rookie.
So what are you saying?
So I'm saying, here's what I'm saying.
He asked you in the highlight. You missed it. What?
Yeah. Oh,
he
yeah.
said, who should be the starter?
Oh, what Tony Pollard. Listen, they're still feeding Zeke. They're still doing it. Be damned. He still had 13 carries. He still had more carries than Pollard. They're really struggling to run. And we're getting caught up in all these glamorous receivers and that. They can't run. They're getting bottled up. So when you can't run, give me some lightning. Give me a home run hitter. If you can't hit singles, let's hit jacks. And 21 is not hitting jacks right now. I think that play could have changed the Cowboys offense for the next couple of months, because I think they're like, oh, that guy, all right? On national television, just had the longest run we've had in 5 years. I've been hoping for it. I've been praying for it. I hope Kellen and Mike McCarthy were watching, because that guy makes a difference in the offense. Not 21, 20. Tony Pollard, the Tony Express.
You drew this image on a whiteboard of the Dallas Star, and it's surround, and I can't get it out of my head. It's surrounded by all, like, a million baby little question marks. How many of those went away after last night?
A couple of them.
And they do have a nice lead now. If you look at it, the Cowboys pushed their lead in their division at 2.5 games over Washington. They're 3 games ahead of Philly.
If they lost last night, it's end of days, and the 2-6 Taylor Heineke team is going to come get them. Peter was on it. When they have it at a 10, it's a Mona Lisa. That first drive was absolutely
awesome.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So I think the question mark of, is Washington to come and get them? I don't think they're losing this division. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I don't think they're blowing it. And that was one of the biggest question marks. What are the other ones? What more do we need to see? More defensive pieces? Sure. A better important part of the puzzle? Sure. The biggest question is, are they winning 2 playoff games, 3, 1. It's how many playoff games are they winning?
They've got more guys coming back, of course. It was so cool to see DeMarcus Lawrence. And, you know, on this board, they have that pointer guy. So this is Michael Parsons, number 11. And I was like, I got it. To put in perspective how special he is, he did get another sack last night. Of course, and that makes it 10, I believe. Second rookie. I'm sorry, second player, not rookie. Not even rookie, just player in the last 20 years to have 70 tackles and 10 sacks for the first 12 games of the season. To put that in perspective, the only other player to do it was James Harrison. He did it twice, and one of the times he did it, he was Defensive Player of the Year. So in a world where it's in between then and now, where we have guys like J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald and Myles Garrett, that's a pretty special rare company that he is in. And I'd say, you know, I've been clowning on their defense a little bit. Like, oh, you've got some nice pieces, Trayvon Diggs, and now you have, you know, Randy Gregory. Gregory's going to come back. You've got, this defense definitely impressed me. We'll see what they do down the stretch. And also, we have that Ryan Shazier is going to join our show. Ian Rappaport, the NFL did hand down some suspensions yesterday to 3 players, one being Antonio Brown. What's going on?
A resolution for Antonio Brown and for the NFL. Remember those allegations of Antonio Brown using a fake vaccination card that came a couple weeks ago that obviously Antonio Brown denied? The Tampa Bay Bucks said they did not know anything about it. Well, the NFL and the NFLPA have now decided they knew a little bit about it. Antonio Brown was suspended 3 games for misrepresenting his vaccination status. That is the official language from the NFL. He was not alone, by the way. Teammates Mike Edwards also got suspended. John Franklin, a free agent who spent some time with the Bucs, suspended as well. This was following a review from the NFL. By the way, there is no appeal, so these suspensions have been accepted. Brown and teammates can return week 16 against the Panthers. Now, Antonio Brown also nursing a foot injury, probably out two games anyway, so he misses now three games with this suspension. The Bucs, by the way, were not fined in this case. They did cooperate with the NFL. I talked to Antonio Brown's lawyer. He said Brown is now vaccinated, and he accepted this suspension essentially to put it behind him and will now focus on rehab and getting back on the field. In a statement, the NFL said the NFL and the NFLPA jointly reinforced their commitment to these NFLPA COVID-19 protocols, and they emphasize the importance of strict adherence.
Appreciate the update and the thorough report on what's going on there with Tampa Bay. They've got the Falcons on the docket for week 13. Some great matchups to take a look at as well. Ian, we'll talk to you in a bit. We're going to take a minute, just a quick 60. It's called Mad Minute. We're going to go around the table and talk about the biggest things that these guys have their eyes on. And let's start with the Giants. Speaking of big things, they're taking on the Dolphins. This game in South Beach. Peter, what are you looking for in this one?
All right, Miami, four games in a row, four wins. This is a team you have to beat at home. And if it's five wins in a row, then we could talk playoffs. I've been a little hesitant on saying the Dolphins are back just because of the way that these last 4 weeks have gone. They've beaten caliber teams that are below. This is when you have to win if you're a playoff team. I think they do. I think they handle the Giants, especially with the quarterback situation being up in the air at the moment.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Mike Glennon handles this opportunity that he's going to have. I want to see Saquon Barkley get his legs up underneath him. We saw him break a couple runs last week, but he still looks like he's still, you know, still trying to, still some tough sledding for him. So, come on, dog. Need you. Let's get it.
Let's get a playoff bid for the Dolphins. But I'll just name the teams. Tell me the team they can't beat down the stretch. Giants? Ooh. Jets? Saints? Titans? Patriots week in the last week that may not be playing for anything.
Yeah.
The Dolphins might be going to the playoffs and lost in all of us doing the penguin dance and
that's
all that.
True.
Tua Tagovailoa is playing some good football. Like, he's throwing dimes. That Jalen Waddle touchdown, the pass from Tua was awesome, and we never talk about it because of how funny the dance is. The Dolphins are going to win this game. Break up the fence. It's dangerous.
You've kept it real on Tua this whole time. I'd like to hear that you're impressed with
him. Yeah, he's been good.
He's been real good. The Giants, though, 4-0 all time against the Dolphins when playing in Miami. How about an NFC North battle? It's the Vikings and the Lions. This one in Detroit. What are you looking for? Eeny, meeny, miny, and Rob.
Yeah, Alexander Mattison, man.
He's talk about
his he's going to get his opportunity. He's one of those other backup running backs that whenever he gets his opportunities to do balls, our guy has over 4 yard average when he's running the football. He's powerful between the tackles. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he runs behind his pads. I think this guy is going to show the world he can be a starting back in this league.
He's in the Tony Pollard club of you play behind a very well-paid, famous running back, and when you get in there, you're like, I think you might be better. It's that kind of thing going on there. I'm worried about the Vikings losing this game. Mm-hmm. I really am. It almost never happens that a team goes start to finish losing. The Lions most likely will win a game. Big letdown week last week for Minnesota. Emotional, tough, frustrating loss at the end. I don't know about the mental strength of this team, and it's a division rival. You can never count it out. I'm worried that the Vikings are going to Vikings this up, Peter.
It's funny because every week the Vikings are like, we get in, and then they go down. And then every week it's like, this is the Lions week. I don't see it.
You don't see the
DeAndre Swift is not out there. They mismanaged the clock miserably. Like, I don't know if the Lions get a win. If the Vikings lose to the Lions, the Vikings have to really look in the mirror and say, what are we moving forward? Mm-hmm. I think they have to win this game.
Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins leads the NFL with a 23-3 touchdown to interception.
He always does something with his numbers.
Head scratcher for Monday. All right, the Eagles are going to New York, East Rutherford specifically, to face the Jets. What is intriguing about this one? Oh boy, Kyle.
Oh, that would have been.
Oh man, that would have been.
spill on
is it hot too?
No.
Oh my gosh. the Eagles were as hot as that coffee. And I'm fascinated to see how the Philadelphia Eagles respond. Nick Sirianni is this motivational master in his mind. Terrible, psychologically devastating loss on the goal line last week. This team's playing really well. They should throw that thing out, the -4 turnover ratio. Go and beat this team, and then go on a run. Philadelphia, you're not out of it. You really aren't in this NFC wild card. Get off the mat.
Eagles have one of the weirdest schedules in the league. They have a bye next week, week 14. So it's like, just get to that point, you cannot have a letdown game here. You have to beat the Jets. That is inexcusable if they lose this one. Last week, I thought was inexcusable against the Giants with Mac with Kitchens as head coach or coordinator filling in on a short week.
Yeah.
Can't lose this one if you're a playoff team in the Eagles. I still think they believe they are.
Yeah, it was inexcusable last week, Peter. You're That's absolutely tough. Right, man. It was tough, man. Jalen Hurts, you got to play better. I think you are the future for the Philadelphia Eagles. But three interceptions last week against a bad team. You didn't play well, man. Stop zeroing in on your receivers. Yeah. Go through your progressions.
I hope Rich Eisen's covering his ears for this next one. The Eagles have never lost to the Jets.
0-11, right?
They're 11-0 dating back to 1973. That, by the way, the best all-time record of any NFL team against any single opponent. Wow. All right, Rich, you can keep listening now because you want to hear about the Cardinals. They're tops in the NFC. They go to the Windy City to battle it out against the Bears in Chicago. What are we excited about in this one, Peter?
Yeah, the Cardinals are going to get back Kyler and DeAndre. Right now, they're playing it coy. I would be very surprised if those two said on game day, you know what? I actually don't feel good. We're not going to play. They've been ready to go.
Okay.
And they're hopeful that they're going to get them in there. I look at the Bears, the quietest week in Bears football. They won that game, and all the Nagy stuff kind of simmered out. It's all Blackhawks and Bulls in Chicago. Like
Bulls beat the Knicks last night.
Yeah, like the Bulls. Like, what if the Bears beat the Cardinals? Like, I think the Bears still have a fighting chance out there. I'm interested in this one. This could be a trap game.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm looking to see what Kyler Murray brings back to his game, right? Did anything fall off? I mean, this offense is super explosive when this guy plays. Defenses defend this team a whole lot different when he plays. I want to see him get back to the MVP type of play for the Arizona Cardinals.
You know who the defensive player of the month is in the NFL? Robert Quinn of the Chicago Bears.
Awesome,
he's
been balls,
awesome month. He's been balls. He's playing great.
Yes.
Not a lot of other guys are. Matt Nagy is such a solid dude. We love Matt Nagy. I think this might be his last stand to lose at home to this team, especially if you lose by a few scores in front of the home fans. He really needs to rise up today.
Last stand meaning?
And this could be the end.
In game? Like in season?
No. I mean, like, if they lose this game, the rest of the season is pretty much irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, it just falls off. Yeah. And so it just gets ugly after that.
Cardinals top five in NFL in both scoring offense and scoring defense. The Bills, the only other team that is top five on both sides of the ball. All right, going through week 13 action, the slate. Chargers going east to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. What are we looking for? What a game.
Yeah, it's a big game. It's a big game, and I think it's going to be another Joe Mixon game. I mean, the Chargers' rush defense is last in the National Football League. They give up 145.
They get gashed. Rush.
They get gashed. Joe Mixon, go get it, man. I'm looking to see some new dances. Okay. I'm looking to see all that fun that y'all had last week. Got to bring it this week. It don't matter this week. If it don't matter what you did last week if you can't do it this week.
Oh, man. About maybe a month ago, 6 weeks ago, maybe at the end of last year when he was hurt, anybody who wanted to do a redraft would all be saying, Herbert should go number one. Herbert should go number one. Burrow, yeah, Herbert's the guy. If we know anything about Joe Burrow, he is a file-it-away guy. He is a chip-on-the-shoulder guy. I think Joe Burrow has something to prove in this game, and there was a national parade for Justin Herbert, deservedly so. I still would invest more in Joe Burrow if I had to pick one going forward, and I think Joe Burrow knows that.
This is the Let Me Love You Bowl. Both these teams, you want to nice. Wrap your arms around, and then, like, yes. The Bengals lost to the Jets the last time we did this. Mm-hmm. The Chargers, they lose to the Broncos. Just when you want to say, the Chargers.
That's true.
The Let Me Love You Bowl. One of these teams, play a complete game and let us love you, because last time we've crowned both these teams, they've had really disappointing losses afterwards.
It's so true. I just want to see some big plays, and Joe Burrow does that. I know it's been the Mixon show of late, but Joe Burrow actually leads the NFL in plays of 30 or more yards. He has 10. No one else has more than 6. So that chase connection, whether it's whoever's out there, Joe Burrow, give us some fun plays to chew on Monday morning. All right, we got more Good Morning Football coming up. The Cowboys dominated the Saints just last night. Did they finally close the door on the NFC East? A nice cushy lead there. How do they stack up against the rest of the NFC? And are you listening to Guns N' Roses?
Yeah, welcome to the jungle with Tony Pollard.
Welcome to the jungle. The
song's about Axl showing up in L.A. That's wild.
Welcome back to Good Morning Football. I'm Will Selva. Happy Friday to all of you. And the Cardinals are happy to be the number one seed in the NFC playoff picture as they look to make the playoffs for the first time since 2015. And it looks like they'll have two key pieces of their offense back on Sunday when they take on the Bears. Let's start with the quarterback position. Of course, Kyler Murray limited in practice for a second straight day on Thursday after missing the past three games with an ankle injury. Wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins also limited as he deals with a hamstring injury. Arizona traveling to Chicago to take on Kay and Kyle's Bears. The prognosis, not so good for Raiders tight end Darren Waller. He missed his second straight practice with the knee injury suffered on Thanksgiving Day in the win over the Lions. Las Vegas taking on Washington, an important game for both teams as they battle for a spot in the playoff race, set against the Lions against the Cowboys. Well, Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers coming off a bad Week 12 loss to the Bengals. Now they have a tough matchup with division rival Baltimore awaiting them. Big Ben was asked how he puts a blowout loss behind them and focus on their next opponent.
You know what? Someone once said, games like this are like bubble gum. You chew them for a little bit and you spit them out. That's kind of what I'm doing, so I'm moving on. I have no comments about last week because it's bubble gum that's been spit out.
Interesting analogy. The only thing that we're spitting out here are fantasy football facts, and that's where Kay comes in as he looks to help everybody try to get into their fantasy football playoffs.
It is the holiday season. We've got people getting their Christmas trees this weekend. We're in the middle of Hanukkah. We got to get it going here. No Cleveland, no Green Bay, no Tennessee, no Carolina. Yowza. Yikes. Let's help fill your lineups for Week 13. Anybody want a quarterback?
Sure.
How about Derek Carr? Derek Carr, guys, he's still been putting up numbers, even without having some of his top targets out there, including those 373 yards on Thanksgiving Day. You can't play Rodgers this week. How about Carr? Scoop him up, play him against a Washington defense that's allowed more fantasy points to quarterbacks than anyone. If I'm playing in daily, this is who I'm targeting. I'll probably talk about him on Sunday on game day. At running back, Jamal Williams. I mentioned him on waivers. I like it a lot. DeAndre Swift still hasn't practiced. Everything looking like he'll be out Sunday against Minnesota. And you have to play Swaggy. Jamal Williams, we love him here on the show. You want to root for him. And he had 15 carries and 5 catches. So that's 20 touches, 83 yards on Thanksgiving Day against the Bears. Most of those coming when Swift left action. So the Vikings, top 10 most generous to running backs. Put him in there. Another running back, because there's so many weird things going on at the RB spot. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I know. Haven't talked about him a lot. He was a thing, wasn't a thing, never really amounted to anything, but maybe he will this week for your fantasy team. He returned from injury just 2 weeks ago. He put up 76 total yards and a touchdown. He had a bye week to rest up a little bit further, and now he's taking on a Broncos defense that's been rough on opposing quarterbacks, but they are giving up points on the ground. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, with all the injuries, no Dalvin Cook, all that going on, absolutely play him. And you can't play any Green Bay guys. You can't play Hilliard. You can't play any of those Carolina guys that are in for CMC. How about wide receiver Van Jefferson? Van Jefferson has been the Rams' big play threat. Yeah. Little boomer bust, but he's getting volume, which I like. Consistent targets. He's gotten 6 or more in 5 straight games, including a season-high 9 last week. I love seeing that. I think he rips off a few more big plays this week against a Jags defense that's 8th most generous to wide receivers. I like Stafford, too, this week quite a bit. Finally, at tight end, Logan Thomas. Thomas saw his first action week 4, a Monday night against the Seahawks. Say what?
Former QB.
Yeah, former QB. You like those guys, right?
Of course, man. They're talented.
And he turns it on sometimes. He's obviously a big target in the red zone, and he had 3 catches for 31 yards. I think that was a little warm-up. He's been consistent. He's been top 10 over the last 2 years when he is on the field. He's efficient. So start him this week. It's the Raiders' defense. They've allowed the 3rd most points to tight ends this season. I feel good about these. A lot of teams on a bye again. No Cleveland, no Green Bay, no Tennessee, no Carolina. This is pretty much all matchup and opportunity based, and that's where we are here in week 13. So those are guys I feel comfortable with, including Logan Thomas.
Oh yeah, I like Logan Thomas. I also like Van Jefferson there. I think he's benefiting from teams seeing, you know, Cooper Kupp having to double him, OBJ having to give some attention to him. Now Van Jefferson, 1-on-1.
Is OBJ going to ruin it for me and Van Jefferson at some point?
Maybe later on, but not right now.
So in the fantasy playoff. Oh, so yeah, Stafford. No. Just don't throw a pick 6 again. 4 games in a row, it's not a good look.
Gotta stop. That's Matt Schaub stuff. You can't do that. That's probably a
record. Since you're calling it Schaub.
You can't bring up Matt Schaub in a fantasy segment. What are we doing here?
All right, you know our next guest. He is an inspiration to so many people, including us. Back in 2017, doctors gave him a 20% chance of ever walking again. And now he's telling the story of his incredible journey and how that setback prepared him for another purpose in life. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the breakfast table former Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me on the show.
So happy to talk to you. You look great, Ryan. You know you're a former Pro Bowler. You're now an author. It's really cool. Your new book, Walking Miracle, is out now. Such an inspirational story about your miraculous road to recovery from paralysis
and how you learn to use the power of positive thinking. Please, we all need more of that. Tell us more about it and what we'll discover in this incredible book, man.
So one thing about my book, I think it relates with everybody, not just football fans. I think it relates with literally everybody that's dealing with adversity. Because one thing is on that Monday night when I got hurt, I don't think anybody that watched that game never thought I would play football again. And not even myself. And I think that's kind of the same situation that we're going with COVID. You know, nobody in the world thought the world was shut down the last 2 years because of a virus. And my book just talks about how to overcome adversity, dealing with adversity and using your past experiences to help you overcome that. And just having a positive light, you know, just always thinking in a good manner, just always feeling well about yourself and having good faith leads to having more things going your way than, you know, having a negative one. So that's more about what the book's about.
The negative ones sometimes give us great perspective, though, and they make us more grateful. I remember very clearly, Ryan, the 2018 draft, and you walked out with your wife, Michelle. You were announcing the Steelers' first round pick, and this was, I think, less than a year after your injury. We were all watching in awe, so inspired as you walked out there. When you think of that moment and you sort of make your way through from then to now, how do you describe that journey?
It's more of a marathon than a sprint, because when I first got injured, I thought it was going to be more a quicker process. And honestly, I didn't know how bad spinal cord injuries were. So I didn't really know what I was going into, and I had a positive mindset. So I thought I was going to be okay from the get go, and I thought I was going to heal right away. But the one thing that I did do was I treated it like any injury that any of us had before. And I just tried to make a game plan for it, which I call first downs and in touchdowns, like a short and long-term goals. And every time I achieved something that was a goal for me, you know, I'll say, oh, that's a first down, that's another first down. And I built up those first downs to be able to do that moment. And to me, that would be a touchdown to show everybody, hey, this is where I'm at. This is all the hard work I've been doing. And that was kind of like a thank you as well to all the people that was praying for me and supporting me.
Right. We know that you follow the Steelers very closely. You've been a part of that team's ride since the injury and even beyond that. So let's talk about this version of the Steelers.
Okay.
It's Ravens Week, and you know all about Ravens Week. It is what it is. It's one of the greatest rivalries in sports. You were a part of it. Still are. How different was your preparation, though, when you were playing for the Steelers, when you're going up against that purple and black than other teams each week?
This week is almost like, you know, obviously we lost last week when I talked Ohio State, Michigan, but this is almost like Ohio State, Michigan of professional football. So you have to really just dive in and find out any extra clues that you can to be the better team. You know, this is going to be a really physical game. The Ravens run the ball a lot anyway, but they're definitely going to run the ball, especially because of basically what we went through last week. So we have to have a bigger week of preparation and practice, and everybody has to truly understand what the circumstances are when it comes to trying to win this game. This is a divisional game, and all of us, the Steelers are trying to make the playoffs. So this is one of the weeks that I might have stayed a little bit longer or went to practice a little bit earlier, because I understood how big of a game this is every time we played them.
Ryan, you were a leader of this defense, and now when you look at this defense, man, this defense has allowed a total of, what, 82 points over their last two games, man. Former safety Ryan Clark recently said, nobody's scared of this team. What's the key to this team getting back to that dominant nature on defense that we've become accustomed to knowing?
I think the first thing of becoming a dominant defense is stopping the run. So if you can stop the run, now you're forcing teams to do what they don't want to do. And every team wants to be able to run the ball and pass the ball, but not every team wants to pass the ball every single play. So if you force a team not to be able to run the ball, then it allows TJ, Alex, and all those guys to be able to hunt the passer. And then nobody wants TJ going after the quarterback, because they know it may be a sack, but it can also be worse. But the fact that we're allowing people to run the ball the way we're running it, it allows teams to do whatever they want. And that's why the defense isn't looking that well right now.
It's so true, Ryan. We like getting this analysis out of you. Let's keep this going. Earlier this week, big story here at the breakfast table. Wide receiver Chase Claypool.
Let's go.
He says, you know what? I think the Steelers need to play music in practice. We do it in pregame warm-ups, and it lightens the mood. Everybody's feeling themselves. Mike Tomlin, who you know very well, not really on the same page. Let's listen.
Mike Claypool suggested yesterday that he would like to have more fun at practice, maybe play some music. I'm suggesting you're not going to oblige his request.
Well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
I like the response. I really like the tee up from whoever the reporter is. Forgive me, I don't know who it was, just saying, Claypool would like to have more fun. He knew what he was doing. He was getting right into coach. What's your take on this? I'll just ask you that.
When I first heard that Claypool said that, I knew coach was going to respond, especially because of how serious a person he is. You know, Coach Tomlin has a good time, but he's a serious dude. And when it comes to football, he's not joking around. And I know that Coach Tomlin is pissed right now with how they're playing on defense and some of the ways they're playing on offense. So to be honest, I know that he's going to figure out a way in practice to turn things around and to get them back on track. But I know Chase wants to have fun, but sometimes you have to focus in on winning instead of just, you know, having a good time.
Winning is fun.
Winning is fun.
And so are you, man. And never count out this man. The book is called Walking Miracle. And Ryan Shazier, job, that is exactly man. What you are. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the book. Please come visit us again sometime soon, my man.
I'd love to. Thank you guys so much.
Congrats on the book. Week 13 is underway. Great slate of action coming to you on Sunday. Let's break down some of these big games. Trey is talking in the commercial break. There's some good matchups this week, week 13. So let's put a minute on the clock. You guys can chew on them. Starting with Washington, they're going to Sin City. They're taking on the Raiders. What are we looking for here, Peter?
Literally a month ago, Kay, I would have said this game is one of those irrelevant games. It's in the late window. Mm-hmm. You're not going to watch it. Oh, okay. This might be the game of the week. Washington versus Vegas. Mm. Vegas coming off their biggest win in years to kind of stop the bleeding of a three-game lose streak and winning on Thanksgiving. And then Washington, red hot, three wins straight for them. Like, I think Washington can win this. I really am curious to see what version of Derek Carr we get. He was great on Thanksgiving. Cannot take a step back this week.
Washington could win it, man. They got to keep running that football with Antonio Gibson. It'll kind of slow down that pass rush with Yannick Ngakoue. He's on the show coming up. He's on the show coming up. I mean, dude, the pass rush has been amazing by Vegas. Let's see if Washington can hold them at bay by running the football.
It looks like Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, and DeSean Jackson are all going to be out for this game. I need a hero, Bonnie Tyler, and it's Derek Carr. Nothing is out of the window for this team. If Derek Carr wins this game, this team could go to the playoffs. The MVP is still wide A open. Derek Carr, go have a day. Not just one on Dallas. Don't go down. I'm kind of rooting for you in this game. At least I am. Go get him.
I love it. Little trivia for you, Schrager. The Raiders haven't beaten Washington since 2005, my friend. Who are the quarterbacks in that game?
Todd Collins, Jamarcus Russell. What do you say?
No, they're two guys who have been on our show. Friends, I believe, two absolute friends of
Josh
the show.
Kerry Collins
and Mark
Brunell.
Mark Brunell.
Kerry Collins, Mark Brunell.
That's a good matchup.
Expansion teams, Jaguars and Panthers.
I just thought you guys might like some randomness in your lives today. Okay, always. The divisional matchups continue. Ravens, Pittsburgh. I mean, we should be all over this matchup. Are we excited about it, though, Kyle?
Never give up on the Steelers.
Tell me.
Never give up on the Steelers. The Steelers have actually beaten the Ravens the last two times they played.
Really?
I'm hearing T.J. Watt's not going to be out there. There's a lot on the line here. This could be the end of the administration for number 7. This could be the end of a lot of things, and that's exactly why I think Pittsburgh's going to win this game. It's my upset special. I don't even know what the line is or anything. I think Pittsburgh's going to win just because they never go away.
You know, sometimes you watch a TV show and you're like, it's the same title of the show, but I don't know any of this cast of characters. In a way, this Ravens-Steelers game, it has the logos, but both these teams are hobbling into this thing. You mentioned no Watt. How about none of the guys that are missing from the Ravens side? They have so many injuries as well. This is going to be one of those games. It's 12-9, and it's a fourth quarter. Someone go out there and win it. It's going to be an ugly one, but this is what this rivalry is.
Ugly? That's a beautiful game.
I love
game.
It. I appreciate it.
Talk about it.
Slugfest. I want to see if Lamar Jackson can kind of get his mojo back. What was it? Four interceptions?
Four interceptions.
Last week? Man, he has to overcome
they
that.
Won.
And again, like, you know, we look at this Baltimore Ravens team. They're not really relevant. We don't really believe in them until they get into the playoffs to see if Lamar can get over the hump.
Who's the player that we like on their defense, Riggs?
Odafe Oye.
Yeah, you can. Why are you saying it like Ron Burgundy?
Right,
is that how it's said?
Yes.
Odafe.
Odafe.
Oh, Odafe.
Odafe. The emphasis is on
are
the
we
second.
Sure?
You got to walk away, Peter. You got to.
I got to stop.
That sounds
number 99.
Good. But their defense has been pretty bad. Their defense has been pretty bad over the last 9 weeks. They've allowed 28 points a game over that span. They have cut that number in half of late over the last two games, so they can keep that up. Watch out the end of the administration.
Could be.
Unbelievable.
Not from Mike T.
Finally, no. I wonder if they play music at practice, Chase Claypool. Finally, we've got Broncos battling it out against the Chiefs. This is your Sunday night football game, people. Get up for this one. What are you looking for, Emrop?
Javonte Williams, you better get the ball early. Okay. You better get the ball often. They better keep feeding it to him. When he gets tired, call a timeout. When the timeout's over, put him back in the game.
Go, Mike.
And give him the ball again, right? They have to be able to take Patrick Mahomes off the field, slow this game down just a little bit. Teddy Bridgewater is great in play action. He's great at, you know, just dealing and willing and dealing. But that's how you get the win. No, you don't get it any other way.
You know how many times the Denver Broncos have beaten Patrick Mahomes? Zero! They have never beaten him. The last Broncos quarterback to beat the Chiefs, Peyton freaking Manning, was the last guy to do it. There have been 12 different guys to have tried, and they have never done it. I like where Denver's doing, and they won't quit, but I think it's KC.
You know, last year, the Buccaneers came out of the bye, and they quietly put together a few victories, and then it was just, whew, feel like the Chiefs coming out of the bye. Got healthy. Frank Clark's out there. Obviously, we've got all the guys at receiver, and now Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back and healed. Here come the Chiefs. Watch it right now. December is here.
We haven't talked about them nearly enough this week. It's sort of weird on the show. They're quiet, and they're going to wrap up Sunday action in week 13. All right, time for Will Selva. He's got your news on Zivest Ghost. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's going on there, Kay and guys? And you just mentioned it during that Mad Minute segment about the Ravens and the Steelers. I know there was talk that it was an ugly game, a slog, but I know Mike Robb said it's a beautiful game. On paper, it looks like the Ravens are the clear-cut favorites after winning two straight, while the Steelers have dropped two straight. But even quarterback Lamar Jackson says, forget about all that other stuff. When these two rivals meet and they square off, forget about everything else.
To me, brothers don't really mean anything in the league. You know, when it's any given Sunday, you know, you can't look at an opponent and look at their record and be like, oh, yeah, this is going to be one of these type of games. You can't do that. If you're doing that, you know, you got the wrong mindset playing football in the league, period. For sure, it's a rival game, and we know it's going to be an intense game, like it always is, very physical game, like it always is. I'm ready.
And so are we. Jaguars players, coaches, and staff recently assembling hundreds of care packages for military service members overseas for the holiday season. Partnering with Navy Mutual and St. Michael's Soldiers, they filled boxes with Jaguars swag and treats and also wrote personalized thank you cards. Out West, the 49ers also out helping the community as they held a virtual mental health event for 22 youth from the James Youth Ranch in Santa Clara. The players talking to the kids about mental health, coping mechanisms, frustration management, and life lessons. We've had Eric Armstead on the show before, and he's been very candid about the struggles that he has faced. And always the clear reminder is you are not alone. If you're going through something, definitely reach out. And so that is always the reminder that is out there from various players around the league. Kyle.
Thank you, Will. Thank you for covering the news. And there's been some news in this country this week that has been absolutely awful, which is why I want to take a moment to talk about Tate Meir. Tate was a high school junior at Oxford High School in Michigan, and he was one of four killed by a fellow student earlier this week, along with Madison Baldwin, Justin Schilling, and Hannah St. Juliana. I mentioned Tate specifically because Tate was like us. Tate loved football, and Tate was really good at football. He was great at football. Playing varsity for the Wildcats since he was a freshman, Tate was a tight end who had switched from running back to help the team. He wore his letter jacket. He liked playing football in the rain. He liked to talk about how tough his team was. And that's what his fellow students said that he was once the tragedy started, when all of the students were running away from the gunfire and Tate was running towards it, where they say he attempted to disarm the shooter. There is a PA announcer for Oxford football, and he talked to the Detroit Free Press this week and said that on the day, he and Tate's father, Buck Meir, were searching for Tate at a staging area for survivors. When they couldn't find his son, Buck said, you know who would go take that guy out, right? He knew, and he was right. Tate Meir, wherever you are the man, you are a badass. And to all the families, to Tate's family, to the Meirs, we are so, so sorry that this happened. We never got to meet Tate, but man, do we respect him. And we thank him. Tate Meir, number 42.
It just feels great. But in the rain, this is where we live. Rain is just like Oxford football. Tough, muddy, everything about us is tough. Start off the season rough, 0-3. But we didn't quit. We came back, we grinded, worked every day. We had trust each other. We all love each other. And we just started building there week by week by week. And here we are beating Clarkson week one. And we're hoping to do more.